she came along for the first time, and you'll hear more about that later. And Will's going to tell us his story in a little moment. But what was very clear was that God had a plan for last year's Acton Jihad Party. In the same way as he's got a plan for this year's Acton Jihad Party, in the same way he's got a plan for all of our holidays, the people that come, and in the same way he's got a plan for each of our lives. We don't know what today might bring, let alone tomorrow. And if there are any here that don't know Jesus as their personal saviour, you know, Will is going to give testimony, as well as there are many other people in this room who can give testimony, that it's life-changing. And it is the best decision that you can make in accepting Jesus as your saviour. These guys made a decision to book up and come on an activity house party, not knowing what God's plan was. And we've had the joy and pleasure of seeing God's plan come to fruition thus far. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot more revealed as months and years go ahead. All I'd like to do, I'd like to invite Will up now, and he's going to share his testimony with us. So, can we bring Will up?
Okay, my name is Will. I'm 28 years old. I'm totally blind since birth. I'm 3 months premature. I was raised in a Catholic family. My parents are Catholics. And my nieces and nephews now go to a Catholic school. I played the organ for my church from the age of about six. I played my first wedding when I was eight. Including both the wedding marches in and out. And I was part of the Easter Passion play when I was 13, and I have the whole script still in braille of that. I played the narrator, along with the priest and the other person who played in the past. So I was predominantly raised in a Catholic family, and I've been to university, got a French degree and all that kind of stuff, you know, as you do. And the work, got paid on voluntary now, and
So, were you
were
born into a Catholic family,
yeah.
And how did that make you feel as far as God was concerned?
As far as I was concerned then, I was following the Lord Jesus. As I'll come on to in a moment, I wasn't aware of how things stood properly until I became a Christian. However, when I was serving God in the church, I played the organ, and I was serving him and playing every week for him, and the church, and the community, and I felt blessed. I was baptised as an infant, and as a baby, because I almost died twice. So I was baptised, and my mum got the priest to baptise me in the hospital room. And I've always thought, up until now, that sprinkling of water was me being a Christian. And when I came to talk to him, I realised that wasn't the case. That really started to change my heart.
So
you're
taking my next question, so hold on.
So
just tell me, what led you to book and come on the activity holiday?
I found the Torch website, and I've always been a thrill seeker. As my friend from college will tell you here, I've always enjoyed activities like rock climbing, abseiling, you know, swimming, quad biking, whatever. So I've always wanted to do things like that, and I thought, this seems like fun, I'll go on this holiday, you know, something to write that. I was aware that the Christian holiday. But I'll be honest here today in Holland, some of you become my favourite for Lord Jesus. But when I first came on holiday, you know, a year ago, now, on 20th of June 2012, we started the holiday to 27th of June, I wasn't really interested in what the Lord could do for me. I did feel very uncomfortable when I was singing, and I wanted to be like a shrinking violet, if you like, you know, going to a corner. And I just came to activities, and when they said they were going to Thorpe Park, I remember saying, there is a God, I'm going to a theme park. which, which obviously, there is indeed a Lord Jesus saviour for all of us. That's what we need to know. So,
so you had your thrill. Yeah. But what else happened to you at that activity house party?
Well, when we were having the preaching in the evening, that really started to soften my heart, and I felt, I met another lady called Philippa Woodcraft, who was on the holiday. I didn't know her. First time I knew her was by what phone she was using, and we got talking. And a friendship started to develop, and it very quickly turned into a holiday romance. Just want to make it clear, I wasn't looking to meet anybody, but that was my friend, of course. But yeah, all the people with all Jesus would want to look for Roma. And so obviously, we developed into a strong relationship. And so I explained that. And I proposed to her last year in Ireland. I gave her a ring in Ireland. In front of all my Irish friends, and they were all like, oh, that's nice and all that. And we are getting married this September. So we are. And happy to have God in our lives, and it really changed my life from that day forward.
Okay, so you met an amazing young lady.
Yeah.
And as wonderful as she is, who else did you meet? How did you come to meet the Lord Jesus? Tell us how that happened and what happened.
I felt it speak to my heart, basically when Kevin was preaching, and he was talking about what the Bible can do for me. Please recollect, I had no inclination of what the Bible was as a Catholic. I only have the Sunday Gospel, the Sunday Mass as it's called, where we are given scriptures from the Gospel, etc., and the Hail Mary full of grace and all the chanting, etc. But I had no inclination what the Bible actually could do for me. And when Kevin was preaching from the Bible and helped me to talk to me in chapel about forgiving my past of some people I couldn't forgive for wrongdoings, and I wept in his arms and I literally said, I'm sorry, Lord. And it was in the chapel when I'd forgiven this young lady who had known in the past for something she'd accused me of. It was not my fault. And I felt the Holy Spirit just lift off me, off my shoulders, this burden that I've been carrying for about 5 years. And I really felt so emotional. And from that day forward, I was more talkative than I am now. And I just wanted, I had such a hunger for the Word of God. And such a thirst. And now I do the daily bread, I read my Bible, I study on my own, I study with Philippa's family, who I wish to thank for being here with me and supporting me through all my questioning and all my knowledge gathering and building. But I know that this Christian life is one where you always learn, and it in this case of reading the book like a novel, I'll always be learning. And as of now, I'm always learning, and this is such a natural day for me. I want to thank all my brothers and sisters to be here today for me.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Rob. That is amazing testimony already to what God has done in your life. And to see the growth in a year in your life is really quite amazing. And we're really excited, because I think Kevin's got his a bit of competition with his job as pastor of the activity holiday. In a few years' time, I can just see that you're going to be one teaching us God's word. And your hunger for God's word is amazing. Okay, thank you very much indeed. You're going to be... Isn't that amazing to hear what God has done in Will's life? I'm going to ask Gareth to come up now and read God's word to us. Is mine a fall? When you're planning one back to them?
Is taken from Exodus 14, verses 1 to 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiro, between Magdol and the sea. Then they are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal-Zephon. Pharaoh will think you are Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egyptians with officials over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen, and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth opposite Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us to bring us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Let the Israelites go. Let the Israelites move on."
Thank you for reading the word of God to us. I'm now going to invite Kevin up to just explain to us what is actually going to be happening this afternoon.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody.
Afternoon, Kevin.
It's great to be here, and we're really looking forward to baptising Wu in just a few moments' time. I think it is about 10 years since I've been coming along with this Torch House Party. This is the third baptism that we've done at Torch, isn't it, Gareth? Is that right?
Yeah.
The first one was Gareth and one of the helpers. How many years ago, Gareth, was that?
2005, 8 years ago.
8 years ago, and Gareth was baptised in the sea. We tend to do it differently every time. Then 2 years ago, we baptised another young man called Mark, who's not with us this year, and we baptised him in the sea, in a different place in the sea. And so we're really thankful for the Evangelical Church letting us use the facilities today. We've had a baptism, a wedding's coming up. We're not quite sure what's coming next, but all things are possible. And I think more things are taking place. So here we have the baptistry. Now, in front of you, not everybody here, I know, has been to a baptism service before. Some of us have, but not everybody. Just to explain what is before us, it's a bit like a mini swimming pool with steps down into it. And in just a few moments, myself and Stuart are going to take Will down into the swimming pool. And Will is going to declare his faith in Jesus Christ publicly. And we're going to baptize him. We're going to take him under the water. And hopefully we're going to bring him up again out of the water. And that's going to be a great experience, I know. What is the baptism really all about? Well, in the scriptures, many people came to be baptized during the time of Jesus. It was John the Baptist, who was baptizing people. And many people came to be baptized. And of course, Jesus was one of those, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That joined the queue to be baptized. And when John saw Jesus, he said to him, "Why have you come to be baptized? You've done nothing wrong." But if we think on that particular time, we recognize that Jesus was fulfilling an Old Testament scripture from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, where it says that Jesus himself would be numbered with the transgressors. He would literally, quite literally, number himself as a sinner. He would join the queue, if you like, and be baptized there in the Jordan River. And the Bible tells us as Jesus was baptized, he went under the water, and as he came up out of the water, heaven opened, and the Father spoke, and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came down and alighted on Jesus. And there we see the whole Trinity, God the Father speaking, God the Son in obedience to the Father being baptized, and God the Holy Spirit coming down. And the voice of the Father spoke these words. He said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." I believe that God says that over each one of us when we go through the waters of baptism. This act does not make us a Christian. I was at the church here this morning, and Chris, the pastor, was preaching, made that point very clear. This is something that happens to those of us who have already put our faith in Jesus Christ. Those who have already repented of their sins and come to be baptized. Let me read from Matthew chapter 28. Just listen to these words, they're quite well known. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And so what we're doing this afternoon is very much in response to the command of Jesus himself. He gave to the disciples and said, now go, go and tell others, go and preach the gospel, and make not just believers, make, what did he say?
Disciples
of all nations and baptizing them. And Will has already become a Christian. He's repented of his sin and he's put his faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe personally that the first act of obedience that a Christian should take is to go through the waters of baptism. And that's what Will is going to be doing today. I want you to picture the water that is here before us as the grave. So we're attending, in one sense, a funeral service this afternoon. Did you know that? Oh dear, it's getting a bit morbid now. Paul tells us, and in our other reading shortly we'll see that the water represents the grave. And as we take Will into the water, and as we take him under the water, just as Jesus died and was buried, so we identify with Jesus Christ in his death and in his burial by going under the water. And then we'll bring Will out of the water, identifying with Jesus Christ in his resurrection to newness of life. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And so what we're seeing before us is dramatic. It's an outward sign, if you like, a public declaration of an inward faith, declaring to the world, well, certainly Hurst Pierpoint and those of us in this room, that Jesus is Lord. And this is a very powerful, powerful sacrament that we are all witnessing and taking part in together. So that's what we're going to be doing. I remember baptizing a lady a long time ago. She was eight, in her 80s. And she became a Christian in her 80s. And she carried some things with her through her life that had caused her to feel unclean, caused her to feel shame. And when she gave her life to Jesus, she discovered that Jesus is able to take away all our sin and all our shame and to give us, quite literally, a brand new start. This is a picture of what has already happened to Will. The old has gone and the new has come. In Christ, we are a new creation. And this lady, when she went through the waters of baptism, she said to me afterwards, she said, I experienced a complete washing within my heart, within my soul. That God did something within me that was absolutely amazing. Somebody else that I baptized was somebody who had addictions. He was somebody that was in terrible debt. And he wanted to take into the baptistry with him his credit cards, because he wanted to leave them at the bottom of the pool as a symbol that the old has gone and the new has come. So shall we pray? We're going to pray. We're then going to sing a song while we prepare for the baptism. And the song we're going to sing, which Stuart is going to lead us in, is the song, I Want to Walk with Jesus Christ. That, and the chorus of this song, we would like everybody to sing when we're in the water, and at the point that we baptize Will, we would like you all to sing that song. So when you come down out of the water, for the obedience, there's a singing of it. Follow him. But let me hear it. Yield your life to him. He has conquered death. He is the King of Kings. So let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your presence here in this place. We thank you that Jesus, that the Father loved this world so much that he sent the Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that on the cross he took our sin. He died our death. He paid our penalty. The righteous one became sin in order that the unrighteous might go free. Lord, as we